Welcome back to the last half hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Mike Pierce is our guest, author of the book, The Gods of War. We're talking about, does religion cause war? Well, it's certainly mixed up in it. There's no denying that. Dr. Pierce, in the last few minutes that we have, let's talk a bit about just war theory, not only in Augustine and Aquinas and others, but as it's come down to us in the 21st century. Is it kind of the ironclad case from Christianity now found its place in society to cover all the circumstances of warfare, ancient and modern?
Well, no, I'm afraid I argue in the book that just war theory is not finally coherent. And there are a number of, I give a number of arguments for that, but just to suggest a simple one right now, in very many conflicts through history, both sides have claimed to be justified precisely by reference to this theory, which gives rise to the very reasonable question, so what's the theory worth?
Well, what is the answer to that question?
Well, I want to argue that that war is an intractable evil, that it can't be constrained by our moral categories. The individual fighter or warrior can be and should be, but the practice of warfare itself leads to an inevitable downward spiral in behavior. Let us say that we, whoever we are, is fighting a war against somebody else over there, and we are losing. We will be very, very sorely tempted to push the boundaries of whatever are the accepted moral categories in order to try and restore our position in this conflict and to save ourselves from being defeated. And when we do that, the other side will almost inevitably respond by doing something yet worse. Now we see this, for example, in the asymmetrical conflicts, particularly of the late 20th century and early 21st century. Let's think, for instance, of those conflicts in which the Western powers have been engaged lately, say in fighting against Iraq, or before that in the Kosovo conflict. In those circumstances, the weak use the weapons of the weak, and those are generally things which fall outside of the usual moral compass. Now, the West has had the luxury, so for example, of placing high-value armaments in areas of population density and so on, effectively using human shields. Now, in practice, in that conflict, the West has had the luxury of such overwhelming force that it can, in quotation marks, afford not to respond by going to the next scale down. But if the conflict were somewhat more even, we might have responded by saying, okay, well, we'll shoot anyway. In other words, my point is that war has an intrinsic logic of its own in which it drags morality further and further down.
Is pacifism the answer then?
Well that might seem to indicate that pacifism is the only coherent Christian position. In fact, that's not my own view. I think that if, for example, a madman is on the loose with a gun and I have the ability to use lethal force to stop him before he kills, say, you or other people or small children or something, then it is simply a narcissism if I say, well, I will not use it to keep myself morally pure in some way. That is not morally optimal, that I actually have a moral obligation to use lethal force at that point. And this is hardly a hypothetical, for instance, because if we only think of the terrible cases, there's several each year where exactly that kind of thing happens, say on a campus or in a hospital somewhere in the US alone. And if we think of the global equivalence of that, then we have to say that actually there are many instances where lethal force does have to be used. Now, your next question, of course, will be, so what are you saying, Pierce? You know, on the one hand, just war theory doesn't work. On the other hand, pacifism doesn't. And my book comes close to throwing up its hands and saying, shucks, I don't know. But in a sense, my point is that warfare is an intractable moral evil which defies all of our attempts to hem it in with moral rules. we must attempt to do so. I don't want to be too hard on the just war theory, but we can't expect it to work either. We can have a Geneva Convention. We can have a United Nations. But as soon as we do, we find that those things themselves become co-opted as instruments of conflict, that they actually become one of the things that we're fighting about. If we want to, for example of that, think of the Bosnian War, in which the Bosnian Serbs were shelling Sarajevo, and the outside powers, particularly the Western powers, gave an ultimatum to the Bosnian Serbs: you do that one more time, we will hit you. And there is abundant evidence to show that the Bosnian Muslims went way out of their way to make sure that precisely that happened, that there was further shelling of the Bosnian Muslim positions so that the Western powers would hit the Bosnian Serb forces. And in a sense, that's my point, that our attempts to regulate warfare themselves simply become further instruments of conflict.
Finally then, Dr. Pierce, someone says, look at all of the wars committed in the name of God, past and present.
Yes.
How should a Christian respond to that generalization?
Well, obviously, by deploring it, and certainly from a Christian point of view, I would say, one of the few dogmatic points I would make in this book is that that Christians cannot fight for Christianity. Okay, that is itself abhorrent, and calls into question the validity, maybe even the truth claims, though I don't go quite so far in my book, of the religions that attempt to enforce themselves by violence. So I think as Christians we can say that much. You can't fight for Christianity. You may be able to fight to defend the weak, to prevent horrible oppressions, to ward off terrifying dangers and so on. But one cannot fight for Christian faith itself.
Dr. Mike Pierce is professor of history at Houghton College in Houghton, New York, and author of the book, The Gods of War. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. It's a pleasure.
Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, actually falls within part of the purview of this conversation. It's called Lutherans Against Hitler, The Untold Story. It's often said that the German Church and the Lutheran Church in Germany in particular were complicitous or quiet or quietistic during the rise of Nazi Germany, and in some cases complicitous in the atrocities that were committed by Hitler and his. Is that true? Well, the answer is found in Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December, Lutherans Against Hitler. You can find out more about it at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for December. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Lutherans Against Hitler. For the last few minutes of the program, we're going to be talking with Pastor Stuart Crown about Christianity and college. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Palo Alto, California, author of an article in the latest issue of For the Life of the World magazine, titled The Beginning of Wisdom. Pastor Crown, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can it be intimidating to be a pastor so close to one of the icons of American higher education, Stanford University?
Well, I suppose if you're trying to convert the old Adam intellectually, yes, it would be. Because you'll never be as smart or as intelligent as all those future Nobel Prize winners.
But if you're not?
Well, then you always have the comfort of preaching with God's Word, which will do its work on the people